tonight. Amen. Brother, if you don't mind, if you could give me a little bit of this microphone and these speakers right here. I realized last night when I did that move there, I probably was blowing y'all's ears off, and it didn't help me hear no better at all. So I'm sorry about that. Amen. But I want to say this about sound doctrine. I'm so thankful for the opportunity. Me and Brother Jason, he leaned over. He said, man, I feel like a 17-year-old kid getting to hear them live. Grew up listening to them, and I did as well. And so I want to say this about that. Some of y'all may be new Christians, and you're young, but we grew up listening to these guys. And in our minds, they were just worlds away from South Georgia to Michigan. And, you know, we never thought we'd get to be in meetings with them and stuff. And they were famous. I mean, you don't get to go with be in a meeting with Sound Doctrine. Amen. They just send you a CD in the mail, or a tape in the mail is how that worked. And to be able to be in meeting with them, it's been a pleasure. And it's been an honor. And I sure am thankful. Amen. I fall in love, not with just a group that I grew up listening to, but I've fallen in love with men of God. And boy, I don't know if y'all say this about me, but I count y'all as friends tonight. Amen. And but it has been a joy. And thank you again, preacher, for the opportunity, for Brother Jason coming over tonight. I tell you what, the Lord knows how to give you something that you need. And I leaned over to Brother Jason a while ago, and I said, brother, thank you for coming. I said, I turned back there and I seen him sitting in the back. I said, my heart skipped a beat when I seen him sitting back there. I was on the phone with my wife earlier and I said, I've just been down the past couple days. And you may see me in church and say, well, you haven't seen down. And we fight through that as preachers and as singers. But I've just felt down. About 6:15, my phone rang, and one of my best friends in this world called me. I said, what you need? He said, nothing. He said, I'm just calling to check on you. I said, I needed it. And we just talked for a minute before we got off the phone. I said, thank you for calling me. And it helped me a little bit, and then I turned around, and I seen another friend. He said, man, I wasn't in church nowhere this week. He said, I just wanted some preaching. And I drove 2 hours from Marion to come hear you. And I thought, he's heard me preach before. Why did he do that? I thank God for some friends. That's an encouragement. And Brother Jason, you may not get anything tonight, and I'm sorry for that from this sermon. I know you got something from the singing, but if nothing else, you made that drive for me. And I thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Bible Missionary Baptist Church, for being in your place. You've sacrificed and you've done without, and you've rushed from work, and you threw the kids in the washing machine, and you threw your dishes in the bathtub, and you got it all backwards and messed up. And I was in Alabama a couple weeks ago preaching, first time I'd ever been there. The first time I met the pastors when I walked in on Sunday morning, I really enjoyed our time together getting to meet him. He said something every service that I thoroughly enjoyed. And about the third song after it was over, he'd come up and he'd make the first introduction, and he'd go through his welcoming and go through his announcement. He said, now, he said, take a deep breath. You made it. And you probably have fought things that nobody else knows about today. But guess what? You made it. You made it. Amen. So thank the Lord for your consistency. Amen. And you being in your place tonight. I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5 tonight. When you find your place in the text, I'm going to ask you to stand and reverence the reading of the Word of God one more time. We'll practice some of that Nehemiah 8 again. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 5, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And I do ask that you pray for us tonight, that the Lord will help us as only He can. And we'll see what He has for us through His Word. The Bible says this, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." One went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh the quarrel against me." It was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Would you pray for me this evening? Father, we do love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for every song that we've heard tonight. Thank you for the ministry, Lord, of this group, Lord, of these men, Lord, the labor that they've put into it, the drive that they've made to be a blessing, Lord, the efforts that they've given, Lord, to glorify the name of our great God. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that as you have moved and as you have blessed the time of singing and of worship, I pray that now it'd be no different. Lord, and I understand tonight, Lord, that the man standing behind this pulpit cannot get the job done in himself. Lord, I don't have the words to say. I don't have the illustrations to give. And I don't have the method to do it with. But Lord, I'm asking simply, Lord, that you would use me as your vessel and the instrument to relay the sound that you have for your people. Lord, may you be glorified, pleased, and Lord, everything that's said and done, put a smile on your face. And for that, we would say thank you tonight. We ask it all in the name of Jesus, for his sake and his glory. Amen and amen. Thinking you may be seated. I want us to look just a few moments in the life of this man by the name of Naaman. There's really not much that I can go back to, no pages that I could scroll through and find much information as a way of introduction to give of him tonight for you or for us. What we know about him, we have read about him. I find it amazing, though, that our writer in verse number 1 of chapter 5 concerning Naaman, he begins to list the things of Naaman. And just like anybody would write, I believe if the writer of this time, in this era, was still alive today, you would not be able to distinct the years between him writing it then and someone writing it now. You say, why is that? Because as he begins to write these things down of Naaman, he begins to list all of his accomplishment. He begins to list his accolades, if you will, the things that he's done, the places that he's been, who he is, what kind of man he is. But before I can get through telling you all the good things about Naaman, there's one little piece of history that you must know about Naaman. Don't you know that that's the day and the hour we're still living in today? Amen. Somebody walks in our churches and the preacher sees a nice, clean-cut looking family and he says, "Man, they've been coming 2 or 3 weeks now. I want to get to know them, maybe talk to them more. I really enjoy their presence, their children mind. They got a good spirit about them. They've always got a smile on their face." And then before you know it, somebody walks up and says, "Yeah, but preacher, I knew them in high school."
But there was this one time that I remember that they were absolutely wild. I always want to tell people that have those types of comments something like this: careful with your details, because if you give too many, I'll start thinking you was there too. The writer is giving us the description, and really, this is the message tonight. We're jumping right in. We first notice the description of Naaman. We see all of his good things, but the writer said, but he was a leper. Can we go backwards? Can we notice the service of Naaman? The Bible said that he's captain of the host of Samaria. He is not just some fly-by-night little military boy wet behind the ears. This man has come through the ranks. My dad, where he pastors at in South Georgia, in Camden County, they call it the Kings Bay area, where submarine base is, the Kings Bay Navy submarine base. And those fast-strike submarines, they are protecting this great country right now as we speak. And there's been military men come through ever since I was a little boy, Brother Cody, and I've watched as some, they'd come in, they'd graduate from boot camp, and they'd get sent to Connecticut just for a couple little weeks, and then they'd get shipped to somewhere else, and a lot of times it would be St. Mary's. And through their years of service and through their graduation, rather, they would show up, and I'm talking about they couldn't grow a mustache. They couldn't, I mean, hardly even a good stink going on if they forgot to get deodorant under their arm. I mean, young, wet behind the ears, and look like they just graduated high school, but they've graduated the Navy boot camp. But there would be some that would be stationed in the Kings Bay. They just didn't graduate boot camp, but they was there to take over a boat. They would be ones with stripes and with bars on their sleeve. And I would watch as in town or on that Navy base or even in church sometimes, here would come in some of these men. Amen. They would be chiefs of the Navy. They'd be E6s and they'd be way up there. And you'd watch as those men would come in and those letterings on the side of their sleeves and those stars and those young boys that had just barely gotten out of boot camp, been called everything but a Christian. Amen. Their lives have been changed. They would see them chiefs walk in or those cobs walk in, and all of a sudden they think, am I supposed to stand up right here in the middle of the church? Service going on, but they knew they better show some respect. I've watched as those chiefs would be walking down sidewalks or they'd be walking through Walmart and them young boys stand to the side and begin to salute. That's who Naaman is. When he walked into a tent, the young men would stand because of who he is over them. Amen. He's the one charting out on a map how to win the battle, which way to come in toward the enemy to be sure that they would find the victory. This man is accomplished and he's went somewhere in his service. Not only in his service, but there's something to be said about his spirit. The Bible said that because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto him, but he was a mighty man of valor. He was an honorable man, a man of valor. Even said he was a great man. It's something to be accomplished in this life, but it's a whole nother thing to be accomplished and have the right attitude with it. I know a lot of men that are accomplished men, but the way they present themselves and carry themselves, I don't care to rub shoulders with them one bit. Hey, man, but you find me somebody who has done everything that they have strived to do in life and worked their fingers to a bone, but yet carry themselves in humbled humility tonight. Hey, man, there's something about that that money cannot buy, and that is the type of man. If I'm looking at Naaman from the outside in tonight, I'm finding out he's really just got it all going on. Obviously, he's married. He's a family man. He's an accomplished man, but as our writer states, it's not just a man of service, it's not just a man with the right spirit, but he's also a man with a sickness. What I want us to realize this is, if you're looking on the portrait side of Naaman, there's nothing wrong with him. If you're looking on the outside, his coat is perfect, his tie is straight, his hair is set in place just right. Oh, but if you could open up on the inside of Naaman tonight and remove his Superman cape, you would find out that there is an issue on the inside of Naaman that money cannot fix, that his accolades will not handle, that his accomplishments will not brush away. Amen. You could have all the money in the world tonight. You can be the highest of the possibilities in the ladder of this society, but if there's some things that's not right on the inside, honey, we all find ourselves just like Naaman, and we find ourselves in need tonight. So tonight I simply want to preach on this thought: a need like Naaman. A need like Naaman. We don't just find his description, but I want us to look secondly at his discouragement. We're on a mission tonight to find the help that he needs. So the king of Syria has plotted up an idea. He's got a plan, and he is now writing a letter. And the king of Syria said, go to, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. And if anybody can help Naaman, surely it'll be the king down in Israel. Well, that makes me scratch my head right there, because I'm trying to figure out, just like the king of Israel is, why did the king of Syria think that the best thing for a leper to do would be go find the king of Israel? It just sounds like one king's passing him off to another king. I can't help him, so you try to help him. Hey man, I don't have the knowledge. I win battles. I win wars. I train soldiers. I make battle-ready people. If anybody could help him, surely somebody in Israel. Maybe it was the idolatry, the idea tonight, the ideology that there just might be somebody in the land of the people of God that could help him, that could show him how to be relieved of his issue tonight. And I wonder, maybe the king could help him. Can I say something about that tonight? We better be careful seeking out the people in our lives that we are looking for help from. He's looking for help, and so he's reached out to the king of Israel. And oftentimes in our lives, we do need help. We do need encouragement. And thank God I just gave you an illustration of how I've been encouraged by friends tonight. But we better understand that there's going to come a point and a time in our life that it's not my friend that can help me through this. Hey man, it ain't my brother and it ain't my sister. I got a good mom and I got a good daddy. I got a good pastor tonight. Hey man, but there's some times that I got to reach further than what mama can give. I got to reach further than what daddy's wisdom can give me. Hey man. And they are doing the right thing by reaching out. They're just reaching out to the wrong person. I love youth in our churches. I love young people. Brother Cody preaches a lot of youth meetings. Brother Jason preaches a lot of youth. And I have no greater joy than to get to spend time with the young people in our churches. But what it always amazes me, it cracks me up, if I'm just being honest, it's kind of funny. Here comes a 16-year-old boy, brokenhearted. I mean, his world has been turned upside down, Brother Jason. And he comes to somebody like me and probably somebody like you. No doubt, Brother Cody is a pastor, somebody like you. And they say, man, my heart's broke. I thought she was the one. Maybe the pastor's wives would like to jump into the sermon for a moment when a young lady comes to them and says, I just don't understand. I thought he was God's son. Amen. I thought he was the one for me, but he broke my heart. Say, well, what you going to do? Well, my friend said. Ain't it amazing how brokenhearted teenagers always first seek help from other teenagers. Well, I'll tell you what I'd do. Let me tell you something. Thank God, I guarantee you this group right here, y'all is as close can be. Literally, figuratively, all of it. Amen. Y'all are shoulder to shoulder. Some of you sitting sideways and cockeyed. Amen. Y'all just glad to be here. Amen. But there's going to be a day where you better realize you better not be getting advice from somebody who's the same age as you. Amen. If you got some needs in your life, they're going to be there to pray for you. They're going to be there to encourage you. But when it comes down to the matter of the fact, you better go find somebody with less hair than what they got. Amen. And some grayer hair than what they got. Or nowhere hair than what they got. You might want to go talk to your preacher. You might want to go talk to mom and daddy. Or you just might want to go find somewhere in the corner and say, Lord, this is beyond me. Because if you don't reach out to the right person, they will lead you astray. They'll lead you astray. The king couldn't help him. Matter of fact, when the king of Israel unfolds his letter, he said, hey, this is king of Syria. Hope everything's all right over in Israel. By the way, here's 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And there's a dude by the name of Naaman coming down there. He's got leprosy. Can you help him? See you later. And the king of Israel said, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Do what? Did I read this right? Sir, there's some horses and some chariots coming through the main gate right now. Stop him at the gate. Here goes the king of Israel. Am I God? He thinks that I have power to take life away such as this or to give life back? What's he got against me? He was so baffled by the situation that Naaman was coming to see him. He thought the king of Syria was using it as a tactic to get him. A quarrel against me. And somehow, some way, through the grapevine, through the singing of the birds, there's a preacher. Y'all remember over there in 1 Kings chapter number 18 when Elijah stood and the prophets of Baal called on Baal from the morning sacrifice to the evening sacrifice and they heard nothing. Amen. And the story is just turning into shambles and they've beaten against the sacrifice to the point that they've broken down the altars and the whole time old brother Elijah's leaned up against a pine tree somewhere, said, where's your God? Maybe he's on a journey somewhere. Maybe he's asleep somewhere. He restores and he rebuilds the altars and the sacrifice and in 63 words, amen, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art the true God of Israel. And then, woof, here comes fire down out of heaven, amen, consuming the sacrifice, burning up the rocks, the dust, the water, and all of it. I feel like here's Elisha's time to shine in the same manner that Elijah did. He's watching as the king of Israel is a pacing back and forth and saying, I don't know what's going on. What's happening around here? We got a leper fixing to show up in the kingdom. And old brother Elisha said, hey, just send him on down here my way. I ain't scared of no leper. Matter of fact, if he'll show up down here, it ain't gonna be me that can help him, but I know a man who can. I know the one that can cure the lepers, give sight back to the blind. I've watched dead people raised from the dead. Just send him on down my way. So here the story begins to take its turn. The Bible said, so Naaman came with his horses, verse 9, and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now you have to understand that somewhere between verses number 5 and verses number 9, Naaman is going to see the king. By the time he gets there, the forerunner of the letter has already delivered the letter. The king's already read the letter. He's already made a statement. I'm not God. I'm not into the leper business. And by the time he gets there, he finds out that he'll find no help in the person that he's reached out to. And don't you know, as a man that is discouraged because of the case of his situation, he's already living in discouragement. Now he finds out that I'm not going to get my healing from the King of Israel and becomes even more discouraged. But here's the thread of hope. The preacher said, go visit him and he can help you. Oh, thank God. I thought I went from Syria to Israel for nothing. I thought I'd made my journey for naught. I thought this was going to be a burnt trip, a wasted trip. I thought that I was going to go home the same man as I came. But I'm going to go down there to Elisha's house, and I'm going to find the healing that I need. So he shows up in verse number 9, stands at the door of the house of Elisha. And look, notice what verse 10 says. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. If you take away the story of Gehazi and what's fixing to happen to him and the rest of chapter number 5 and exclude that situation, you could have ended chapter number 5 right there, and you could have shouted glory, hallelujah. Old brother Naaman jumped in the Jordan 7 times. Amen. And his flesh came upon him again. He was cleansed and he was cured and he was delivered of his leprosy. He's a brand new man, but that ain't how Baptists work. Naaman must have been a Baptist. A good Baptist. You say, why is that? Verse number 11. But Naaman was wrong. Why is he mad? That man just told him go cannonball 7 times in the Jordan and everything's going to be okay. But for some reason, he starts getting upset about it. Y'all remember what I think I said it last night. If I don't remember, it was either last night or Sunday night. But I think I told y'all something about my dad saying, son, the more you speak, the more people know how unsmart. It's the polite way to say that. You are. I have found this out in many situations. It's better to be silent and to just let things be things. Most of the time, they'll take care of themselves. But as soon as you open up your mouth, things start coming out that later on down the road, you are mightily going to regret. I preach against gossip. We all do. We're preachers. We're supposed to. I don't believe in gossip. You ought not do it. But I have a prayer list. And Brother Tony, there's some things on that prayer list that, man, I just don't want to be calling people's names and not know the story. You know what I'm talking about? There's some things I need to know how to pray about them. So I don't call gossip gossip. But if you got something juicy, I'll put it on my prayer list. Huh? What did they say? Huh? Help me. What did they do? Go ahead. I won't tell nobody. Come on. This is for my prayer list. Ain't gossip. Old Brother Naaman, he's got some wrath built up. And I wish I could go back in time and say, all right, now, Naaman, let's walk over here to the side for a minute, because you do know everything you're fixing to say is going to be recorded in 2 Kings chapter number 5. You might want to choose your words wisely. That's all I'm telling you. Well, he did it, so since he did it, we might as well find out what he's so upset about. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold. I don't know if y'all underline in y'all's Bibles or not, or make a note or make a mark, but if you do, these may be two really good words to underline right here. Behold, here they are. I thought.
Well, there it is.
I wonder what he's thinking. Luckily for us, the verse is not over yet. And we get to find out. What you so upset about, Brother Naaman? I thought. He will surely come out to me. Uh-oh. You mean to tell me that the first thing that upset his little old precious Baptist heart was the fact that when he finally gets to Naaman gets to Elisha's house. I'm here from a miracle. And Elisha said, yeah, that's him. Go ahead and go out there and tell him what to do. And Naaman is upset because the preacher didn't even come out and see me. I thought Elisha was going to do the miracle. And he wouldn't even come to the door. He just sent his messenger to do the dirty work. I think we kind of covered some of this last night, so I'll not exhaust it and re-preach some of those things. But can I tell you, you better be careful when you look up there at that man sitting in the middle of those three and you start getting upset at the things that he does do and the things that he don't do. I don't know why. He knew that my sister-in-law's little cat was going to have surgery at the vet, and he didn't even call and say a prayer over Fluffy. He walked 3 aisles past me, and he didn't even say, good to see you today. I don't know what's wrong with him. Oh, what about Sister Tristan didn't even brag on the way that my dress looked today. She knows it's brand new. I posted it on Instagram. She liked it, but she didn't tell me in person that it looked good on me. We ain't even got to the point of him being a leper yet, and he's already mad because the preacher ain't doing something that he thought he was supposed to do. I don't know why that preacher's always going and preach revivals and he won't be here and preach to us. And I don't know why he thinks he needs to take them young men all over America. Amen. They need to be at home with their mamas and daddies. I don't know why the preacher thinks we need to have 3 or 4 meetings a year. I don't know why it sounds like somebody's doing a whole lot of thinking and they have no idea what God is trying to do. It's 8:37. Don't he know that I got to get home and get in bed and get to work? I do, and I'm trying to preach it fast. But if I smell, if I sniff, if it feels like somebody's getting upset at how long the preacher preaches, I'll just start all over and preach it again. Amen. Don't make me get in the spirit tonight, child of God. Hey, the reason why we are in the place that we are is because we have thought for too long. Matter of fact, I'm going to preach a whole series. I'm working on it. Maybe by next year I'll have it. I'll have to preach this again, but I'll have it. I'll preach a whole series on people when they thought things was going to be a certain way. Can I go ahead and tell you something? Usually when you think God is doing one thing in your life, you're wrong. When you think God should do it this way, he's probably not going to do it that way. He does things God's way. His mind's a little bit bigger than mine and ours. He just does things like God does things. And we mess things up the way we mess things up. And when we get ourselves thinking, we're normally wrong and he's always right. I got to move on because I want to come back tomorrow. I thought, well, what was you thinking? I thought he was going to come out and say, hey, how you doing? He wouldn't even come out. Now, here's what else he thought. I thought he would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Where in Leviticus chapter number 14 did he find that? Do I need to do 5 minutes worth of Sunday school or are we good? Okay. Are you a leper? Go show yourself to the priest. Here's how it's going to go down. There's like 9 sacrifices and offerings that we got to do. This may take 7, 8, 9, 10 days. Who knows? And I don't even know. It's not a guarantee that you'll even be cleansed if you're a leper. But we're going to call on God. We're going to do these ceremonies. We're going to do these offerings. We're going to have these sacrifices. And just maybe you will be cleansed. He has tuned in to TBN and done seen somebody done put their hand on somebody's forehead, amen, and call on the name of the Lord and absolutely abracadabra healed somebody. I thought the preacher was going to come out there and say, oh, this is a leper. Number one, he ain't going to be touching the leper. Can I get a witness right there? I thought he was going to come out there, put his hand on the place, call on the name of his God and be healed and knock him out. Knock him out. There it is. Knock him out. And him revive and everything be okay. That's what you get for thinking. He ain't found that in the Bible nowhere. He ain't never seen it done like that nowhere. Not till Jesus shows up. What you so mad about, Naaman? I thought. What'd you think? Well, I thought he's going to come out and see me. He didn't like the person. The person that they first tried wasn't the right person. And the person that came out to him, he didn't like him either. And now he don't like the plan. I don't like that. Why? Well, y'all want to know what else he thought? Verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus? I like this word. Oh, this is a good Bible word for them thinkers. Because when you don't like the person and when you don't like the plan, you're going to find you a better place. Are not the waters of Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? If we're going to do this whole baptismal thing, if we're going to jump in a river somewhere, I got a better river to jump in. I don't like the Jordan River. Last time I was down there, there was a silt across the top of the water. There was algae growing up. There was dead fish floating around. The banks of the Jordan are muddy. But down there at Abana and Pharpar, Pharpar, what a fun word to say. I'm gonna name my next dog Pharpar. Last time I was over there at Abana and Pharpar, Abana had a big old rope swinging out over the river. Pharpar had a water slide. It was cool down there at Abana and Pharpar. You didn't feel uncomfortable down there at Abana and Pharpar. Everybody just came like they was and left like they was down at Abana and Pharpar. I don't know if Elisha knows this or not, but the waters are better at Pharpar and Abana. Why can't I go down there? I'll tell you why. Because God didn't say to go to Abana or to Pharpar, but he said to go down there to Jordan. And if you'll just go where God says to go, you'll find the miracle is waiting for you. May I not wash in them and be clean? He started wroth. He started upset. I would think wroth would be the top of his anger management level. But that's where he started. So he turned and went in a rage. You better understand something real close tonight. Is Naaman is not mad at his situation. Naaman's not mad at the poor messenger that came out and met him. He is upset at Elisha, but it's deeper than Elisha. It's not the king of Israel. It's deeper than the king of Israel. It's not the king of Syria. It's deeper than the king of Syria. It was his wife's maid that suggested that he go on this journey. It's not them that he's necessarily upset at, but it goes a lot deeper than that. He is now so upset at his misfortune that he's not getting what he wants, and he's got better plans, and he's got better places, that he ultimately is pointing his finger in the face of God, saying, why can't it be done the way I want it done? Y'all remember that little family over there from Bethany? Had a sick brother. I think we talked about it last year. I'll not review the sermon. But there was a sister that met Jesus out on the driveway after 4 days of his tarrying. And he finally arriving, and there's a dead brother. And there's a funeral that has been had. And there's a house full of mourners. There's a sister. Found out Jesus is on his way. And I got something to tell him when he gets here. And he went to walk up and hug Martha around the neck and say, it's all going to be all right. But before he could embrace her with his loving kindness, and before he could speak peace to her troubled heart, just as he's done throughout the entire Gospels, New Testament, but he could have said one, two words, and her heart would have been cured of its pain and its hurt. But instead of letting him, matter of fact, he didn't even get an opportunity to speak when he finally shows up. She's the first one to speak. She's the first one to say something. And when she did, she said, if you had been here, like I said 4 days ago, my brother had not died. If you would have just done what I asked you to do, if you would have done what I suggested, if you would have done what I prayed and asked you to do, and I have been begging you to do for a year, and I have been pleading and shedding tears and exhausting the tissues out of the church's tissue boxes, if you would have taken a step further, if you would have been God the way I said to be God, things would not be this way. Are the waters of Abana and Pharpar far better than the rivers of Damascus, the rivers of Jordan? So he started a little upset, but he turned away and he went in a rage. He's fuming. He's so upset that he's not getting his miracle. Can I go grab Naaman again and say, Naaman, it's not that you're not getting your miracle. You're mad because you're not getting your miracle the way you want it to get your miracle. It's not that God's not answering your prayer. It's that he's not answering your prayer the way you thought he was going to answer your prayer. It's not that he's not coming through for you. It's that he's not doing what you expected him to do and what you told him to do and what you thought would be best for you to do. Can I tell you, there's a lot of prayers that are poured out on the altars of the church of God tonight. Amen. And they are left there in good heart. But the problem is that we are expecting God to get on our page instead of us getting his. I'm a young man. I'm 34. Don't let this gray in my beard fool you. And thank you for everybody who's commented on how much gray I do have. I'm proud of that. Thank you. I'm a young man. But I have found out. When I say something like this, I don't say it in hatred. I surely don't say it trying to be mean-spirited. It's not that some of us have ever told God how to do it in our life. We all have. selfishly, anxiously, bitterly, hopefully, pled that God would do what we've asked Him to do. You say, I don't believe that. I do. Because I can walk you into a garden tonight where even the Son of God, He fell on His face, and His sweat became as great drops of blood. And He looked into a cup, and He seen every sin of Jared Dixon floating around in it. And He seen every sin of Gary Duty floating around in it, Tony Duty and Jason Garner and Edward Dixon and Pastor Cody's. He seen our sin in that cup for every man, woman, boy, and girl, for those that would ask for forgiveness of sins and for those that will never ask. He seen them all floating around in that cup. And He lifted up His head to His Father and He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was born of a virgin. He came to this world not to live, He came to die. He left the portals of glory. He left His throne in heaven. He came to die. But when it came down to it and He felt the weight of the sin of the world placed upon His shoulders, amen, He cried, Father, is there another way? But something rose up on the inside of the lovely Lord Jesus. Maybe He seen John standing on the riverbanks of Jordan saying, and behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And He said, Father, but not my will, but Thy will be done. Hey, can I tell you tonight, child of God, if He endured the suffering of the cross and submitted Himself to the will of God, you can too tonight. You can do it. He was willing to submit Himself to the will of the Father. Don't you think we ought to tonight? Don't you think if He was willing to go deeper into that garden for you and I, that I should be willing to go deeper into the places of the unknown and the places of the hurt and the places where I feel abandoned, but to know that I'm exactly where God wants me to be? Honey, if that's where He's taking me, if it's Jordan, then I'm jumping in to the Jordan tonight. His description. Let me ask you, are you discouraged tonight? Not because somebody hurt your feelings. Maybe you're discouraged because He ain't doing what you've been telling Him to do. Brother Jared, it's what I've been asking Him to do. Why don't you confess to Him tonight? Lord, I've not been asking You, but I have been telling You. Can I let you know a little secret tonight? God ain't a puppet on our hand. He does not submit to His children. We submit to Him. Woo! And it ain't always fun and it ain't always easy. But if you would just see what's waiting over there in the Jordan, if you would just imagine what it's going to be like when Naaman gets back home, amen, and he sees mama and he sees them babies. They ain't been able to hug daddy in a long time. But when Naaman's getting ready to come home, they said, what happened, honey? He said, I'll tell you in a minute. I just want somebody to come over here and give me a hug. Let me give mama some sugar. Let me love on my babies because I'm not who I used to be. I found all that I needed in the will of God. I found it all. Verse 13, we find His deliverance. And His servants came near. Whoop! Glory. And spake unto him and said, my father, let me ask you something. If the prophet had bid thee, Let's go do some big miracle. Do some great thing. Wouldn't you have done it? Would thou have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. Somebody that cared for Naaman seen the wrath and they seen the rage. But they must have seen that water turning and bubbling down there in Jordan. And realized even though it don't look as fancy and don't look as good as what a Bon and Farpar has got going on, there's something happening in Jordan. They ain't got the fancy lights like a Bon and Farpar, but something is happening down there at Jordan. What if he would have called you and asked you to help him make that axe head swim? Wouldn't you have done that? Well, I mean, that's different. Yeah, it's different because it wasn't for you. It was for others. Wouldn't you have liked to have been involved as Elisha prays over this dead child just like Elijah did three times and a beat back in his heart and air back in his lungs? But that's different because it was for them, not for me. Oh, it's real easy to listen to someone's prayer request over there. Lord, help them. Lord, bless them. Then you feel bad for them, so you walk over there to them after the service and you grab them by their neck and you say, it's okay, everything's going to be all right. God ain't going to leave you here. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You just keep on trusting God. And let's see what your talk and what your walk and what your actions sound like and look like and smell like when it comes to your house. And let's see if everything's going to be all right then. But some friends that had some faith when a man had run out. He had enough faith to leave where he was to go find the help that he needed. But as the discouragement is building and things are not happening the way that he expected them to, I'm just mad and I'm going to leave. They said, if he would have asked you to do a great thing, you would have done it. We know you would have. You're a man of valor. You're an honorable man. We ain't never seen Naaman act like this. All of that description in verse number one is out the door. Can I tell you something tonight? Be careful how you act when things ain't going the way you expected them to go. Because we know who Naaman is, and he's acting like someone we ain't never seen. You will act ways, you will do things, and you will say things that you never dreamed of yourself to say and do when you are living in discouragement because God's not answering the prayers that you're praying the way you want them answered. Come on. Let's go to Jordan. You really think I'll find the healing in Jordan? I think you will. He said you will. Thank you for coming and being a friend. Thank God for some friends. Thank God for some people that'll smack me upside the head and say, he'll do it. Just do what he said. Here's how he gets it. This is the invitation. 14. He went. What way did he go? Which way did he go? Not up. He didn't rise up. He didn't get promoted. He went down. And dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. He humbled himself. And he heeded the word of God. Do you want it tonight? Do you want them prayers answered? Do you want God to move in your life? Are you waiting on God to get on your page? Or are you ready to humble yourself before God tonight? and heed the word that he has preached to y'all. Not that what I've preached, maybe something that his messenger in this place has preached over and over, but you're still waiting, you're still thinking, I thought, but tonight it's time to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. We're standing all over the congregation tonight. How many of us need to find somewhere and say, Lord, tonight I'm submitting myself to you. I have a need like Naaman. I want it your way, not mine. They're singing tonight. Would you mind the Lord? Would you mind?